Live, on air, online, and on the Highland Radio app. This is Highland Radio News.
Good evening, it's Katie Gillen with the news at 5 o'clock. Coming up in this news bulletin, Sinn Féin doesn't believe anything substantially has changed with the ending of the HSE recruitment freeze today. The sister of a girl who was murdered 30 years ago has called for a public inquiry. Rescue teams in Donegal were busy this weekend tending to kayakers in need of assistance in two separate incidents. And concerns are growing that a phantom spray painter has returned in West Donegal. These stories in full plus more to follow. We will have all the latest sports news at around 5:15. Emergency services are currently attending the scene of a vehicle on fire on the N56 at Coolboy this afternoon. Gardaí say no further information is available at this time. Sinn Féin doesn't believe anything substantially has changed with the ending of the HSE recruitment freeze today. The government is giving the health authority an extra €1.5 billion for the health service this year. The hiring pause was brought in October last year but was extended in November. But Sinn Féin's health spokesperson David Cullinan says there's nothing new in the lifting of the hiring freeze.
I don't see anything substantially changing on the back of this announcement from the head of the HSE. Last year and the year before, the HSE was able to recruit three times as many staff as they were able to recruit this year. So those severe limitations on recruitment that have been in place now for some time, in my view, will remain for the rest of the year. There was no new funding for any new measures, including cancer services. So I don't see any big change coming from this announcement. The severe restrictions and limitations on recruitment that existed for the best part of this year, in my view, will remain. But what we do know is that the target that the HSE set to reduce agency spend has not been met and is now being slashed.
The sister of a girl who was murdered 30 years ago has called for a public inquiry. Arlene Erkinson from Tyrone was 15 years old when she was last seen after attending a disco in Bundoran with her friends Donna Quinn and Sean Hegarty. In July of 2021, a 14-year-old inquest found that she was killed by convicted child murderer and rapist Robert Howard. Her remains were never found. Speaking to the Sunday Times, Arlene's sister Kathleen Erkinson says she wants to bring Arlene home and is now calling for a public inquiry in the hopes it will answer some remaining questions surrounding the young girl's death. Concerns are growing that a phantom spray painter has returned in West Donegal. It's after a number of road signs and private property has been graffitied with red paint. A local councillor says it was a problem in the past but had subsided. Councillor Michael McClafferty is now appealing to the culprit or culprits to stop as vulnerable people in the community are becoming upset.
But I would appeal to them to stop this because this is not doing any good for tourists. It's not doing any good in the area. It's certainly not doing any good being specific slogans on signs as such as we've done at the weekend or in buildings either, I might add, at people's private property as well. There's no need for it and I don't see any sense or what people are hoping to achieve hiding behind spray cans that are doing this.
It's one thing to spray paint public signs, but to enter somebody's property, there's an extra level to that.
You're certainly getting into a different space, all right, Dunamary. I suppose the spraying of the signs would have been commonly known and still is back in the day, back 20 years ago when they had a big time called graffiti. We haven't heard of graffiti or seen graffiti in a long time, but this again now going into this person's building as such is certainly graffiti as such. At the end of the day, they left the public road, they crossed an area into the person's street toward into the shade. I would say stop, please stay away from people's property, and particularly stay away from people who are living in elderly populated areas. Stop annoying them because that's what you've been doing. You've annoyed a great number of people in the Fochiara area. We need and want this to stop. And that's where it's at, Donna Marine. It's a sad state of affairs that I'm standing here talking to you Monday morning about this, that vulnerable people and elderly people are greatly annoyed about this on a Monday morning. This is not on. At the minute, a paint's been sprayed, a person's shade has been damaged, and I would say just draw the line on it before things get out of hand, go any further. Just stop it now, immediately.
Rescue teams in Donegal were busy this weekend tending to kayakers in need of assistance in two separate incidents. The Lochswilly RNLI crew were called out on Saturday to a woman who became injured Meanwhile, the Bunbeg Coast Guard aided a kayaker in difficulty yesterday. With more, here's Donna Marie Doherty.
The Loch Swilly RNLI crew were called out to the assistance of a kayaker who had fallen and injured her leg on Inishtrahill Island. The task came in at around 8:30 on Saturday evening. The victim was with a group who landed on the island earlier in the day. Using the all-weather lifeboat, she was evacuated and taken to Buncrana Pier. An ambulance was at the ready to transport the kayaker for hospital treatment. Meanwhile, Bunbeg Coast Guard was tasked by colleagues in Malin Head following reports of a kayaker in distress on the southwest of Inishsherer Island yesterday. The team launched within minutes and arrived on the scene to find the individual in the water clinging onto an overturned kayak. They were assisted from the water and the kayak was also recovered. Both were transported to a nearby harbour to the awaiting shore team.
Donegal County Council is inviting submissions from members of the public on proposals to vary the basic rate of local property tax. The council is keen to hear views and opinions on any proposal to vary the rate of LPT, and in particularly on the potential effects of any variance on households, individuals, businesses and on council services. Aidan Delaney has this report.
Donegal County Council can resolve to set the rate of LPT for multiple years. Exemptions are in place for properties constructed using defective concrete blocks or certified as having pyretic damage. In Donegal, 80% of homes attracted an annual charge of €103.50 in Band 1 in 2024, with a further 12% attracting a charge of €258.75 in Band 2. 92% of Donegal properties attracted charges in the lowest two valuation bands, which is Band 1, €1 to €200,000, and Band 2, which is €200,000 and €1 to €262,500. Donegal County Council's LPT income in 2024 is €28 million and comprises around 15% of Donegal County Council's total income for the year. The money collected under the local property tax contributes towards the cost of providing a range of important local council services. For further information, please visit our website.
The Northern and Western Regional Assembly is urging the government to fast-track the delivery of 13 major infrastructure projects in the region, after a new study found that the region is now on par with the least well-off areas of Europe in terms of infrastructure. The new research has revealed that investment in transport, health, education, housing and energy infrastructure in the northern and western region is languishing far below that of its counterparts in Ireland and across the continent, with transport infrastructure ranked the 17th worst of 234 European regions. John Daly, economist with the NWRA, says it's no surprise that regional inequalities in Ireland have continued to rise as population, employment and income growth remains overly concentrated around the Greater Dublin area.
Well, based on the information that we've obtained from the as part of this publication, the Regional Infrastructure Tracker, it is clear that the likes of not just the wider northern western region of Ireland, but particularly like counties such as Donegal, very much rural-orientated counties, are receiving below-average allocations when it comes to distribution, whether it be of investments associated with public tenders or investments associated with, say, prominent investment programmes from various government departments or public agencies. So part of this, and this is part of, I suppose, the role of the Northern West Regional Assembly, we have an advocacy role, not just the likes of myself and the executive of the Northern West Regional Assembly, but also our elected county councillors. We'll be raising these issues with our national policymakers about how exactly can we address these size of infrastructure deficits. And the report itself actually talks about a number of recommendations that need to be implemented to address these challenges. And the most, I suppose, are, well, in total we have five high-level recommendations. Our standout recommendation is the delivery of 13 priority projects for the northern western region of the island of Ireland. So these will include, say, for example, in the case of Donegal, some of the relevant projects will include the delivery of the Donegal 10T projects, which ranges from everything from developments regarding the N56 and N13, Letterkenny to Manor Cunningham, and the N14 Manor Cunningham to Lifford Strabane.
Parents are being urged to ensure their children are properly vaccinated against measles before going on holidays. The HSE has issued a fresh appeal this morning. Dr. Anthony Breslin, consultant in Public Health Medicine, Department of Public Health HSE West and Northwest, says it is particularly pressing in Donegal, where MMR vaccination rates are lower than they should be. He says families need to realise the risk posed by the disease, given the outbreaks seen in the UK and Europe.
In Europe, there's outbreaks, large cases in the UK, for instance, in France, Portugal, Germany, other holiday destinations. So we're just saying that if your child hasn't had its appropriate MMR vaccines and you are going on holiday, you should consider it, because you don't want your child to get sick either on holiday or after they return from holiday. And you're meeting people when you're on holiday, you're meeting people on the plane, you're meeting people in the airport, so there is an increased risk there if you're going abroad of meeting people who could be spreading measles.
It will spread more quickly between children, would that be fair enough to
say? Well, measles spreads very, very easily. All you need is less than 50 minutes conversational contact with someone who has measles, or spend a long period of time in a room where they have been. So, for instance, when we get a potential case or a proven case and they've been to see the GP, we sort of put that GP waiting room out of action for 2 hours because it can be in the aerosol there, the virus, and anybody using that room for the next 2 hours could inhale the aerosol and inhale the virus. So it is phenomenally easily transmissible.
Former President Mary McAleese has described an incident where a priest refused to give communion to a junior minister as heartbreakingly ludicrous. The moment between Father Gabriel Burke and Minister Colm Burke was captured on a live stream of the funeral of a 99-year-old man in Whitechurch in County Cork on Friday. The Cork TD says Father Burke told him he was excommunicated and has written to the Bishop of Cloyne to seek clarity on the situation. Mary McAleese gave her reaction to what happened.
Just ludicrous. Absolutely. Heartbreakingly ludicrous. I don't believe any cardinal in Ireland has ever done such a thing. I don't think the Pope has ever done such a thing. I'm pretty sure no archbishop in Ireland has ever done such a thing. It's ludicrous and, as I say, heartbreaking.
The time is 12 minutes past five. We'll be back after this short break.
Highland Sport is brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure, Letterkenny. From rebounders to goalposts, find everything you need to play your best at michaelmurphysports.ie.
The time is 5:15. Oisín Kelly is here with all the latest in sport.
Thanks, Kitty. We start with international women's football, and the Republic of Ireland earned a hard-fought point in their opening game of the Under-19 European Championships this afternoon. Dave Connell's side held defending champion Spain to a scoreless draw in Lithuania. Inishowen's Jodie Lochray played her part as the Irish put in an outstanding display of defending. Jodie's sister Kerry is also part of the Irish squad but was an unused substitute. Next up for Ireland is a meeting with Germany on Thursday. New Republic of Ireland men's manager Heimir Helgrimsson has travelled to Waterford for talks with John O'Shea. Helgrimsson wants to appoint the former Ireland skipper as his assistant. O'Shea has served as interim manager during the last two international windows. Cross channel, Manchester United have signed Bologna striker Joshua Zirkzee in a deal worth over £36 million. The Netherlands international has signed a 5-year contract at Old Trafford with the option of a further 12 months. The 23-year-old scored 12 goals in 37 appearances in Serie A last season. Up in Scotland, Celtic have reportedly received a transfer inquiry from Juventus for midfielder Matt O'Reilly. It's after the Scottish Premiership champions rejected a bid from Atalanta. O'Reilly was named Celtic's Player of the Year as he helped them to the league title last season. England's footballers have arrived home from Germany after suffering defeat in the Euro 2024 final against Spain. The future of manager Gareth Southgate dominates the fallout from the tournament. He says he'll need time to discuss his next steps with the FA. And aside from the Euros, the Foyle Cup started today. Hundreds of young boys and girls took part in the parade in the city earlier. Games are being played across the northwest throughout the week, from under 8s right up to under 19s. Nangeelic Games, Donegal's quest to reach this year's All-Ireland Senior Football Final came to an end at Croke Park yesterday as they lost by 2 points to Galway. On reflection, it's been a tremendous year for the group under manager Jim McGuinness, winning Division 2, the Ulster Championship title and becoming a top four side again. But the Donegal manager knows they've missed an opportunity to make an All-Ireland final.
You know, people talk about, you know, year one and all this. There's no such thing. There's no such thing. It's this year. And this was an opportunity this year. We had an opportunity. And we felt we were in a really good position at half-time. We felt if we could have kept it together and pushed on for 15 minutes that we could have potentially seen the game out. It didn't pan out for us that way. And as I say, Malachy, we'll have to take that in the chin and we'll have to move on from that and take as many lessons from that as possible. But you're right, you know, 2024 was on the line today. Armagh grasped that nettle yesterday and they're in the final. You know, we played them 3 times this year, we didn't lose. So, you know, and good luck to them and good luck to Galway as well. I think it'll be a really good final. So that's it. You know, you have to just take it on the chin and move on.
That's Donegal boss Jim McGuinness, and indeed there'll be more in-depth post-match analysis of the game on the DL debate this evening. Brendan Devaney will be joined by All-Ireland winners Frank McGlynn of Donegal and Galway's Jay Fallon, as well as Ryan Ferry of the Donegal News and Jason Byrne of the Irish Sun. It's all on the DL debate after the 7 o'clock news this evening. And Michael Langan has been named among the nominations for the GAA.ie Footballer of the Week. The St Michael's man kicked 4 sweet points from play against Galway yesterday. Galway's Dylan McHugh and Armagh's Ryan O'Neill are the other two nominees. Langan has also been named on the Team of the Week alongside fellow Donegal players Brendan McCall and Oisin Gallan. We go to horse racing. There's action this evening in Killarney. Donegal jockeys Dylan Brown McMonagall and Luke McAteer have a number of rides there. But in the meantime, cross channel in Ayr today, there was yet another one for Donegal jockey Oisin Orr and trainer Richard Fahey. They won in the 6-1 shot, My Harrison George. That now means Orr has 41 wins to date this season. And cricket, Strabane will take on Rush in the final of this year's National Cup. Strabane recorded an impressive 6-wicket win at North County in Sunday's semi-final to progress. In the other semi, Rush were far too strong for an injury hit Ballyspallin. On the golf front, Letterkenny are through to a first ever Ulster final. The one on Sunday over Fort William secured their place in the decider. The Letterkenny team is captained by Finian Ferry and also has Jack Patton, Chris Duffy, Cian Harkin and Jimmy Foley as the other team members. Letterkenny will face either Port Rush or Mayola in the Ulster final in Warren Point. And finally in darts, Michael van Gerwen and Luke Littler will go head-to-head tonight in the first round of the World Match Play in Blackpool. There's also a meeting of two former world champions in Michael Smith and Gary Anderson. And that's your sport for the moment. Don't forget the DL debate is live later after the 7 o'clock news. Kitty.
Thanks, Oisin. Investigations are ongoing following the assassination attempt on Donald Trump during a rally in Pennsylvania on Saturday. A spectator was killed and 2 others were critically injured. U.S. President Joe Biden has made an address to the nation calling for an end to violence. Josh Crosby reports from the Republican National Convention in Milwaukee.
Take a look at what happened.
The shots that rang out on Saturday have shifted the tone in the US presidential election. Law enforcement is on high alert on the first day of the Republican National Convention in Milwaukee. The city has been divided into separate access perimeters for the 4-day event. Michelle lives in Milwaukee and says the atmosphere is quite tense.
I don't mind a large event. I've lived in places where large events come, but I do mind this event that has a different tone and different consequences.
Thousands of police officers from across the country have been drafted in to monitor the events, while President Joe Biden has called for calm in an address to the nation.
We can't allow this violence to be normalized. You know, the political record in this country has gotten very heated. It's time to cool it down. We all have a responsibility to do that.
Former President Donald Trump has arrived in the city and is set to address the crowds on Thursday. However, there is now speculation he might make his first public appearance since the shooting as early as today. Josh Crosby at the Republican National Convention in Milwaukee.
The Electoral Commission says the wording for any future referendums should be published at least 4 months before polling day. It's one of five recommendations from the Independent Commission after completing a review of the family and care referendums held back in March. It also recommends reviewing the design of ballot papers and removing the broadcast moratorium, which currently bans broadcasters from reporting on elections and referendums from 2 p.m. the day before polls open until after they're closed. The allocation of additional resources to local authorities to help enforce derelict sites legislation is being considered. Figures show there are over €20.5 million in unpaid levies from the owners of these sites across the country. Councils are responsible for collecting these payments, however many are receiving none or at most minuscule amounts. Rory Hearn, Assistant Professor of Social Policy at Maynooth, says so far the approach by government has been too soft.
It's very clear that local authorities really need to be told that they have to do this seriously. They need to be given the resources to do it. As I said, we need to explore if revenue needs to take this on. Councils can engage in compulsory purchase orders of these properties under the Acts where the owner doesn't pay the fine. Why aren't councils doing compulsory purchase orders more? It seems to be that they're just taking a very laissez-faire approach, that the property owner, they either can't get in touch with them, which seems to be a big issue, or the property owner says, you know, I have a certain amount of works planned, so therefore the local authority doesn't take any action. So it seems to be a very kind of softly approach to it.
An Omagh haulage company, its director and transport manager, along with a number of drivers, have been sentenced after a joint operation uncovered the manipulation of tachograph recording equipment. This records the speed and distance covered by the company's drivers. With more, here's Alex Rowley.
It was found that the company was producing false tachograph recordings to appear that they were complying with rules on drivers' hours. Director, 45-year-old Michael Doherty, and transport manager, 56-year-old Patrick Doherty, pleaded guilty previously and were sentenced at Laganside Crown Court on Wednesday the 3rd of July to encouraging fraud by false representation, 9 counts of aiding and abetting fraud by false representation, and entering into an arrangement to acquire criminal property. Patrick Doherty was sentenced to 14 months imprisonment, suspended for 2 years, and Michael Doherty to 2 years imprisonment, suspended for 2 years. At Laganside Crown Court the following day, Michael Doherty Haulage Limited was issued with a confiscation order to make a payment of £247,028 and the company ordered to pay a fine of £72,000. The PSNI said the danger lay with the fact that the odometer, speedometer and speed limiter can be disabled by such manipulation, and as a result, the driver, who is already over their legal driving hours, is in control of a vehicle weighing up to 44 tonnes while having no indication of speed.
A number of people have been arrested after disturbances at a centre in Coolock, which is due to be used to house international protection applicants. Bricks and missiles have been thrown at members of the Garda Public Order Unit who have been deployed to the former Crown Paints factory on the Malahide Road. It's believed a security guard at the centre was injured in clashes earlier and he was taken to hospital. An organised protest is due to take place in the area at 6 p.m. Newly elected local councillor Gavin Pepper asked why the government wants to put asylum seekers into deprived areas.
There was an awful lot of money spent over in Dublin 4 to put up barriers to keep them out. They didn't go into the old Israeli embassy, they didn't go into the old Ballsbridge hotel. So there's loads of buildings in Dublin 4 that were never used, and they have the money to keep people out. And at the end of the day, they end up putting these men in deprived areas that don't have services for their kids, that are waiting weeks on doctor's appointments. They don't have stables for their horses. They don't have proper playgrounds.
Two parent representatives of the Roadmap for Progressing Disabilities have announced their immediate resignation. Rebecca O'Riordan and Aisling Byrne have cited a number of reasons for their move, including the return of inaccurate data and lack of consultation with families and staff. The pair had been working with the service since 2022. Rebecca O'Riordan of FUS Ireland says regulation of children's disability services is needed.
There is a handful of people making all of the decisions. There's a systematic review on the HICWA website of how other countries develop health and social care policy. And it involves research. It involves stakeholder engagement. Within the HSE and within this sector, within children's disability services, policy is written by whoever turns up to the meeting.
And now for the weather, a mix of cloud and bright spells this evening with scattered showers, some possibly heavy at times. East to northeast winds will be mostly light. The showers will die out early tonight and drier conditions will follow. Mild and humid overnight with lows of 11 to 13 degrees. To conclude this evening's news, Sinn Féin doesn't believe anything substantially has changed with the ending of the HSE recruitment freeze today. The government is giving the health authority an extra €1.5 billion for the health service this year. The sister of a girl who was murdered 30 years ago has called for a public inquiry. Arlene Arkinson from Tyrone was 15 years old when she was last seen after attending a disco in Bundoran with her friends. Rescue teams in Donegal were busy this weekend tending to kayakers in need of assistance in two separate incidents. The Lough Swilly RNLI crew were called out on Saturday to a woman who had become injured. Meanwhile, the Bunbeg Coast Guard aided a kayaker in difficulty yesterday. And concerns are growing that a phantom spray painter has returned in West Donegal. It's after a number of road signs and private property had been graffitied with red paint. That's all from the newsroom for now. We'll be back with news headlines at 6 o'clock. Pardon, at 6 o'clock. The obituary notices for this Monday evening, July 15th. The death has taken place of Jerry McFadden, Naas, County Kildare, and formerly Breena, Glen Swilly. Jerry will repose at his home tomorrow from 5 p.m. to 7 p.m. with prayers at 7 p.m. His funeral will take place on Wednesday with Requiem Mass at 10 a.m. in the Church of Our Lady and St. David, Naas, followed by burial in St. Corbin Cemetery. The death has occurred of Kathleen Gallagher, née McLaughlin, formerly of Nora Fraser Court, Derry. Kathleen will be reposing at her daughter Una's home, 235 Lone Moor Road, Derry, until 10 p.m. tonight, and tomorrow from 11 a.m. to 10 p.m. Funeral leaving there on Wednesday at 10:50 a.m. to St. Columba's Church, Long Tower, Derry, for Requiem Mass at 11:30 a.m. Interment afterwards in the city cemetery. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu, if wished, to Children in Crossfire, 2 St. Joseph's Avenue, Derry. The death has occurred of Cathy Campbell, Balnacore, Crossroads, Killigordon, formerly Mahara, County Derry. Remains reposing at her late residence today. Funeral leaving from there at 11:30 a.m. on Wednesday for Requiem Mass in St. Patrick's Church, Crossroads, Killigordon at 12 noon. Interment in the adjoining churchyard. Funeral Mass can be viewed live on the parish YouTube channel. Family time on the morning of the funeral, please. The death has taken place of Breege Ferry, Neo O'Donnell of Mahara Clogher, Derrybeg. Her remains will repose at her home today until 8 p.m. and tomorrow from 11 a.m. to 8 p.m. Rosary nightly at 8 p.m. Funeral Mass on Wednesday morning at 11 a.m. in St. Mary's Church, Derrybeg. Interment afterwards in Mahara Gallan Cemetery. The funeral mass can be viewed live on Kieran Rorty Funeral Director's Facebook page. House private after rosary and on the morning of the funeral. The death has occurred of Maureen Elliott, Elliott's Bar, Mina Gowan, Litchermack Ward. Maureen's remains are reposing at McGlynn's funeral home today with rosary at 8 p.m. Removal after to her own home in Litchermack Ward, where the house will be strictly private this evening and tomorrow. Funeral Mass on Wednesday at 11 a.m. in St. Bridget's Church, Litchermack Ward, with interment after in the new cemetery. The death has occurred of Mary Hughes, née McDermott, Boyne Hall, Drogheda, and formerly of Balnaheglish, County Roscommon and Clonmany, County Donegal. Mary will be reposing in Townley's Funeral Home, Cross Lanes, today until 7 p.m. Funeral Mass tomorrow afternoon at 2 p.m. in Our Lady of Lourdes Church, Drogheda, with burial afterwards in Newton Cross Lawn Cemetery. Mary's Mass can be viewed live on stpetersdrogheda.ie. For family information and more details regarding wakes and funerals, please go to highlandradio.com.